North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Welcome to The Voice, where controversial talk inspires provocative thought, with your host, Bill Litzinger. The opinions expressed on this program are those of Bill and his guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting. Now, here's Bill.
Good afternoon, and welcome to The Voice. I'm your host, Bill Litzinger. Thank you for joining us today. Our topic for discussion today is the issue of the Lynn Scott gravel pit and the journey that this hotbed issue has taken over the past year or so. My guest today is Jonna Plant. But first, we're going to tell you about some comments from our program of July 21st with nurse practitioners Cynthia Delsing and Nicole Grimm on the COVID-19. Steve from Sagal. We get so much differing information from so many sources. Whom do we believe? Steve, I have no idea. Just wait till tomorrow and something will change. Kelly from Sandpoint, I know both of these ladies by reputation. I take what they say seriously. This is a community effort to conquer COVID-19. I know one of them very well, and yes, I know Nicole Grimm very well, and I've heard nothing but good things about Cynthia Delsing, so I do give them credit for what they say. Ben from Kokalala, it would have been nice to have a differing opinion on this topic. Your lineup of guests on this topic have all been from the same thought process. Ben, you're right. I never thought of it that way. If there is somebody who has a different approach, get in touch with me. We'll get you on the air so we can have a variety of opinions. I had invited Bonner County Sheriff Darrell Wheeler to be on the program today to talk about some of the equipment that he had purchased for crowd control and other types of training, but he couldn't make it because of his schedule. But he did submit a statement, and I'm going to read it to you right now. The lawsuit against the city of Sandpoint is about upholding the rule of law. I am seeking clarity of that law. It is dangerous for two separate law enforcement agencies to hold opposite interpretations of the law. I didn't know that there was a difference of opinion between the Sandpoint Police Department and the Bonner County Sheriff's Department. I know that there's a difference of opinion between the city of Sandpoint and the Bonner County Board of Commissioners, but I didn't know it was between the two law enforcement agencies. Darrell goes on to say, especially when the city holds the position that the festival will be responsible for their own security at future concerts. Last year, the head of festival security was a teenage volunteer. That is a recipe for trouble. Gordon Graham, a well-respected 33-year law enforcement veteran and public speaker, teaches, if it's predictable, it's preventable. My concern lies with the provocateurs that are showing up around the country spreading violence, not with the law-abiding pro-Second Amendment citizens who may show up at the festival peacefully protesting the obvious violation of the Idaho preemption of firearms regulations. I have made plans to bring in crowd control expert Dave Welts as a volunteer at no cost to the county to teach riot control tactics initially to our emergency response team. They are a group of highly trained, mostly post-certified instructors. Those officers will train the rest of our staff. Best regards, Bonner County Sheriff Darrell Wheeler. Okay, that's that. Last night I took part in the library trustee board meeting. It was online, of course, so it was on that Zoom program. I was able to ask a couple of questions. My main concern was not pro or anti-mask, but why the board allowed 15 or so people to close the library to the public. The board basically said they said the shutting down was a combination of a spike in cases and that group that occupied the lobby. They said they do have the authority to mandate masks. No arrests were made that day because, according to the board, law enforcement was very busy. The board is currently redefining the definition of face coverings, and they said next time arrests will be made. I don't like a few shutting out thousands. I think the library board, in my opinion, must be more aggressive in their leadership. If they have the authority to do something, they need to go ahead and do it. We've got small bands of people all over this country creating problems for the majority. If you want to protest, actions have consequences, and you might end up in jail. For those of you who wonder about streaming, both of my programs, The Voice and Face to Face, are now available online anytime. It usually takes a day or two to get the current program onto the online system. And you can do so by tuning in at NorthIdahoRadio.com. That's NorthIdahoRadio.com. And then you go to the Noon Program Radio tab. And you can listen at any time. We're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint wants you to know they're going to great lengths to keep their customers safe. They've installed acrylic shields in the check lanes and the counters are being continually cleaned. For your added convenience, try their shop online service. Just go to superonefoods.net. Place your order and set the time for pickup. When you arrive, your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to one of their parking spaces reserved just for online customers. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to, poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Our American spirit is alive and strong. And while we're all going through these unprecedented historical times, we can face these challenges together. Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. Although we may wear face masks and practice social distancing, there are no restrictions on making travel memories for business or pleasure. Taking care of our Shiloh guests and employees is the very essence of what we do. At Shiloh Inns, we're open and ready to welcome you to a clean, safe home away from home. You'll find extra cleaning and sanitizing protocols in place for the safety of our guests and employees. At Shiloh Inns, we offer many free amenities like free Wi-Fi and even the kids stay free. So book your next stay with confidence at ShilohInns.com or call 1-800-222-2244. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence. American family owned and proud of it.
Summer is rocking and rolling at Harrison. The south end of the lake has the most summer fun to be had. The bike trail, the beach, restaurants, shops, lodging, and lots of fresh air.
Well, I think the weekdays rock. The shops are great, the trail isn't that crowded, and we've had really good food every time after our ride.
And swimming! Don't forget swimming! You get to jump into Lake Coeur d'Alene to cool off swimming or rent a kayak or paddleboard. There's so much to do!
Harrison is summer fun time. Come on down!
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
We're back. I'm your host, Bill Litzinger, and this is The Voice once again. Thank you for joining us today. I want to welcome all of our listeners today from here in Bonner County to our neighbors to the north in Boundary County and to our neighbors in the west of us, to the west of us in Pend'Oreille County, where we have a few listeners. We're going to open up the phone lines a little bit later on if you have a comment or a question. And when we do, the number is 208-265-8255. And if you want a couple of free tickets to the Bonner Mall Cinemas, just give Derek, our program engineer, your phone number and we'll get in touch with you. It's now my pleasure to introduce to you my guest for today, Jonna Plant. Jonna is the spokesperson for Citizens Against Linscott Interstate Asphalt Plant. Jonna, welcome back to The Voice.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, why don't you take a few minutes and bring us up to speed on what's going on with this?
Okay, well, I will explain our group, but one thing that I want to say to everybody that's listening is what's coming down the pike in an amendment soon will affect all of Bonner County. Even though I've been battling for the group in Sagal, this will end up going all to Bonner County and should concern everybody. Our group is a group of neighbors, concerned citizens who live in Sagal, who pulled together as a group to battle Linscott and the county and Interstate Asphalt. They wanted to move to their location from Sandpoint off of, am I close enough?
Is that good? Fine.
Okay. They wanted to move out of their area in Sandpoint to Linscott Pit and Sagal. Our group consists of longtime homeowners and homesteaders, even like the Murphys, and many who worked as a team to fight this in 95 and in 2015. And in fact, in 2015, the county commissioners voted that this was against the comp plan. Many in our group have experienced the asphalt plant because it's been temporarily in the Linscott pit six times or so. And our group also knows the laws because we have several people in our group, one that had 30 experience as a planning director in Walla Walla, Washington, and two attorneys that have land use experience. So we became a nonprofit organization and realized we had a huge fight on our hands when the county commissioners ignored those professionals, even though we felt like we knew the laws, and voted against us, even though 99% of the people at the hearings were against the asphalt plant. We hired Givens Pursley, Gary Allen, to be specific, because he wrote the Idaho Land Use Handbook, was the main author on that. So we appealed to the county commissioners in hopes this attorney, who was top in his field, could explain the laws. And we had him write a letter explaining that the adopted amendment was illegally done, that the Linscott's property was illegal because it's a non-conforming grandfathered land, and he had outgrown his grandfather land use laws. We were able to prove that Mr. Linscott had lied to the Idaho Department of Lands and was out of compliance. We were able to prove he was not able to grow or change his land to become an asphalt plant, again, because it's grandfathered land. And Mr. Linscott was grandfathered, let me explain that, in 1981, when he was 18 acres, and by law, he could grow to 20 acres and up to 38 acres if he had gotten a permit. But Mr. Linscott still has not gotten a permit, so his asphalt or his gravel pit is really illegally running at this time. We also had shared that Mr. Linscott had purchased other property to mine, which is against grandfather laws. The county commissioners ignored all the evidence and ignored the public and approved the conditional use permit. We've taken that higher and are now, after spending thousands and thousands of dollars, just trying to get the laws of Bonner County followed, are now in front of the Supreme Court and just recently have won, proving that the county illegally and unlawfully adopted the amendment to allow asphalt plants in zones other than industrials. And that's where we're at right now.
Okay. Now, there are approximately, what, about 100 gravel pits in Bonner County?
Yes, 89 have Idaho Department of Lands reclamation plans, but there's 10 to 15% that don't. So probably approximately about 100 gravel pits. And I guess I should explain this new amendment.
Go ahead.
This new amendment is AM 11. -20 is being proposed on August 27th. They're proposing that Director Alderton, he's the planning director, would be able to place asphalt plants at any of these gravel pits, so up to 100 gravel pits, without any no public hearings, no public comments, nothing. It would just be a signature. He would be able to make a gravel pit as long as it had been there 5 years. He'd be able to make it permanent. And with that permanent standing, they would then be able to, be able to have an asphalt plant, concrete plant, be able to have sales to the public, and also be able to have rock crushing at their location. Which, mind you, that eliminates the conditional use permit.
So basically, with the stroke of a pen, Milton Olerton, I hope I pronounced his name right.
I think it's Ollerton, but it could be Ollerton. Okay. I'm not sure.
Could take these 89
gravel pits
and make them into asphalt plants.
Yeah, and he's an unelected official. So conditional use permits are set up to allow things that are not approved in certain zones to be able to have conditions placed on them. So, for example, they went for a conditional use permit out in the Segal pit. And then there was conditions that could be added to, like there's 13 conditions that can be added into a conditional use permit. This even eliminates that. So what I'm worried about is an unelected official having that much impact or rights to be able to put an asphalt plant anywhere. We could end up being the asphalt capital of the world if you think about it, because there would be no public hearings. Nobody would even know about it until they woke up and smelled the great smell
now,
of asphalt.
Does this new set of regulations, does it go through planning and zoning?
Only through Milton Ollerton. They just have to fill out an application, prove that they've been in existence for 5 years. And they have to, you know, there's a couple of rules. They need to maybe fill out a map and where they're going to store things and do things. But it's only for Milton Ollerton's eyes. It's not for the public. So really, how would I find out about this unless I did a public record request daily to the planning department to find out about these? And I'd have to be specific, because how would I know when he would make this compliant, you know, change this?
Have you or your group contacted any of the commissioners about this?
Some may have. I know that we're trying to get the word out. That's one of the problems that we're having, is getting the word out, because many people, you know, they're required by law to put legals in the newspaper. There's certain ways to get the word out. But for example, if I can go over our amendment and why.
Sure.
They're required in public to give the public a summary of exactly what's going to be heard at the hearing. And we had in 2018, they actually had put in the newspaper, for example, that they were going to speak about gravel pits in industrial zones only. So someone like me, who has a Linscott pit next to me, who's in Rural 5, why would I end up going to a hearing that has nothing to do with a gravel pit that's not in an industrial zone? So they're required by law to make the summary in a public hearing or to get the information out so people are aware to come battle and come give their opinion and why they would or would not want it. That was what happened in what they ended up doing in our area, is they ended up saying they were only going to talk about gravel pits in industrial zones. And when the hearing actually happened, that's not what they talked about. They actually added that asphalt plants could go in Rural 5, ag, and forest on an active gravel pit with a conditional use permit. But people like me didn't go to the final hearing. In fact, I contacted one of the county commissioners and asked them, are they talking about Lynn Scott's pit? And he said, absolutely not.
Who was that commissioner?
That was Dan McDonald.
Well, you can't put too much. Okay, well.
I mean,
okay.
I wasn't going to say it, but I'm just saying is, you know, it was him that actually was at the county commissioner's meeting that actually adopted that with the other county commissioners. And, you know, I know there was an attorney there that had told them that this is an illegal move. You can't adopt when this isn't what it's about.
But who was the attorney that said that? Was it?
She's an attorney in our group, and she's actually an attorney in two other states, just not in Idaho. But she was she wasn't representing anybody, and she was her name's Aaliyah Sharp. But she did know the laws because she has been land use attorney in another state. She was there as a person of interest because she lives in the neighborhood.
Are you contending that this thing that they're putting through is just too vague and the people really don't know what the county's trying to do?
Well, I just looked, you know, recently they put the legals for July 28th, 2020. And if you read the legal notice about this hearing, it doesn't say anything about what the proposal is or where it applies. So what's going to happen is if this makes this through, sure, can it go through? What the problem is you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to get a declaratory statement to be able to say, this is void and null, just like we had to do. We've had to spend thousands of dollars to say, look, they say one thing. This does not give any warning. This legal notice, if you read this, they're going to amend Title 12 and they're going to, it doesn't say anything that it's going to give Milton Allerton, the planning director, the rights to be able to sign a document and put gravel pits, any gravel pit that's been around for 5 years and has proven to be permanent, a right to have an asphalt plant. Now, and you don't know, maybe you're not, but there's a lot of controversy with asphalt plants. I mean, they're, the impacts is not only health related with chemicals that go all over, but there are people that are very sensitive to it. You know, we're real fortunate in Segal because with them being there temporarily six times, we had one neighbor, Corrine Jones, who actually had to move out of her house because her sensitivity to the chemicals in the air. So those six times that it was there, she actually had to move out. And in 2013, when it actually was there for 6 months, she had to move out of her house. And so I'm just saying is the impacts of the health and the impacts of the financial burden, because what happens is when an asphalt plant moves in permanently, there's two proving studies that have proven that the financial of a housing market, your property values drop up to 58%, average 27%. That's a huge loss. I mean, that's something that people put all their money into, their house, and whether it be a smell or the chemicals or the sounds or the 24 hours that they can keep, you know, the heat of the asphalt going, you know, you can hear that. For example, on Gun Club, they could hear the asphalt at night. You know, people could hear it. We like I said, we got to experience temporarily the people that live there, so we know what it's like. People will not know that or be able to hear or smell it until it's right there in their backyard if this amendment goes through.
We're going to take a short break. Let's do this. Let's open up the phone lines, 208-265-8255. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you thinking of selling your home and want results? Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty was named the number one real estate brokerage in sales in Boundary County for 2019. To better serve you, they've opened a second location on Main Street in downtown Bonners Ferry. So if you're thinking of buying or selling your home, think local, think number one. Call Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty today. 208-267-8575. Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty on the South Hill and downtown Bonners Ferry. Coldwell Banker, that's the power of blue.
Attention anglers, can you identify bull trout? Bull trout can have pink or orange spots on the body and white on the leading edge of their fins. They have no black spots on their dorsal fin. Remember, no black, put it back. You must release all bull trout. For practice identifying trout on the internet, type in bull trout education and click on the online bull trout ID test. Please help bull trout recovery in the Clark Fork Ponderay Basin. This has been brought to you by Avista, Idaho Council of Trout Unlimited, Idaho Fish and Game, and Montana Fish, Wildlife and Parks.
Kinnexu Feeds is your family-owned source for high-quality, non-GMO feed in the Northwest. Kinnexu Feeds was founded by farmers and ranchers who know agriculture on a large and small scale, and only buy feed ingredients from reputable sources that they know and trust. Kinnexu Feeds is excited to now offer some of their great products in pellets and crumbles. Look for Kinnexu Feeds at your local feed store, or for more information, check out their website at kinnexufeeds.com, or you can find Kinnexu Feeds on Facebook.
Are you looking for a contractor for home projects like remodels or renovations? Or someone to do some handyman work to clear some tasks from your honey-do list? Call Real Estate Rescue today to get a bid for your upcoming project. We're available 7 days a week, and we can get started right away. Visit our website at realestaterescue208.com or call us now at 208-265-9051. That's Real Estate Rescue in Sandpoint, 208-265-9051.
Are you a catheter user with a busy life? If your doctor has you using a catheter, don't let that slow you down. Not all catheters are the same. The best ones are pain-free, easy to use, and cause less infections. There's the new Ultra and Pocket catheters, made so you can use them anywhere. And with your Medicare insurance, we can ship your supplies discreetly to your home at little or no cost to you. Call today. It's a free call. Plus, with Medicare, you qualify for free shipping. Most of our catheters are tested every day by real users, and we guarantee your comfort. Don't let your catheter hold you back. Call now. With your Medicare card, learn about our free shipping program. Call MedInvios, your catheter company, right now. 800-296-1206. 800-296-1206. 800-296-1206. That's 800-296-1206.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere, all at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Bill Litzinger. Phone lines are open, 208-265-8255. In the studio today is Jonna Plant. She is the spokesperson for Citizens Against Linscott Interstate Asphalt Plant. Jonna, you had mentioned something to me about one of the county attorneys, William Wilson, stating something that they were wrong, that the county was wrong and they shouldn't have done what they did.
Well, we ended up taking this to the courts, and they were battling us, but they ended up conceding. So I have this in front of me. It's 7/16/2020. It was electronically filed by William Wilson, deputy prosecuting attorney. He's also the attorney for the county commissioners. And they had to order and stipulate this, the stipulation of motion of judgment, where he had to admit, it says, the amendment ultimately adopted by the Board of County Commissioners conditionally permitting asphalt and concrete batch plants within a gravel pit, not only in industrial zones, but in several others as well. The county failed to provide adequate public notice of the proposed additions, uses in outside industrial zones. On that basis, the county now admits that the portion of the amendment was improper and adopted upon unlawful procedure.
Okay. Okay. That's a pretty strong statement for the county attorney to say that represents the commissioners. Okay. Now, what I want to go into now is this ordinance. How do they, I thought they had to have public input before they can sign an ordinance.
So, in regular, when people get a conditional use permit for such as asphalt plants or gravel pits, they usually do. But that's where this ordinance will be changing some of that. It also, the new ordinance, so the new ordinance is called Amendment 001120. And in this new ordinance that they're trying to put through, again, there will be a public hearing on August 27th that everybody in this county really needs to get involved with. To be able to prevent this from happening.
Where is it and what time?
It will be at 5:30. It will be 5:30. It will be at the County Planning Department at the 1500 Highway 2, Suite 208. If you're opposed to this, they ask for any written statements to be in 7 days prior, and they ask you to fax it to 208-265-1463 or email the planning department at planning@bonnercountyid.gov and give the reasons why you would be against it. But they obviously showing up and speaking your 3 minutes during the time on August 27th at 5:30 would be the best way to do it.
Now, but I want to get back to this.
Oh, it'd be on the first floor. Sorry.
Has anybody said to you, anybody at the county said, there's a reason we're not taking public input?
Well, they will take public input on this, but then after this clears and it goes to the county commissioners, if that's cleared, then it avoids all public hearings for asphalt plants, which again, most asphalt plants in any area always are very controversial because of the emissions of so many chemicals that go in the air and the sensitivities, it goes into the water. For locally, one of the biggest concerns is the aquifer. For us in Sagal, for example, there was a Sagal groundwater quality study done, and we're not talking just Sagal because all of Bonner County has wells and an aquifer that we get our water from. So, but just for our Sagal, Idaho area groundwater study done in 2008, it clearly says that our aquifer, it says based on the review, it says some areas such as the Southside Water and Sewer District, which is right next to the Linscott property, shows evidence of anthropogenic impacts of the aquifer, which is really chiefly environmental pollution and pollutants originating from human activity. And that aquifer, where the Linscott pit is directly under, our aquifer is directly under the Linscott pit. So our big concern was not only are we talking about the health of our air, but our water, and half mile down grading in that is the river. That goes right into Murphy Bay. It goes right into the fish hatchery. So, you know, any runoff or any spill, I know that asphalt will just, you know, it's different because it forms, but they do have to keep a lot of oil on the property. So there are other areas, you know, I'm looking at other areas in Bonner County, and it says right in another Southside Water in 2001 that it talks about in Bonner County that the wells that are the greatest threat of any type of contamination are wells and located down gradient of the aquifer and are completed near the surface and are located in areas where lacking substantial clay soils above the aquifer. And we are very rock, you know, we have a lot, almost all the lower areas are rock mining. We have a lot of rock mining, and I think there's over 2,200 acres of rock mines in Bonner County. So there's a lot of areas that don't have that clay protection. And so I worry about this in any of Bonner County, really, unless it's in the industrial area where it's been prepared.
Have you spoken at all directly with Milton Olerton about this?
Oh, well, we have spoken quite often, but about this new one, no, it got brought to my attention, and I've been battling the, like I said, and working with the lawyer in regards to the Sagal asphalt plant, but when this came to my attention, I knew that as soon as I had good news that they could not be in rural ag and forest, that they were going to have to figure out.
Well, you know that if Dan wants something, he's probably going to get it. I'm just wondering, I mean, Milton really... I don't know that Milton makes any decisions. I think they're just decisions that Dan or Steve tell him. And he's going to do what they tell him because he needs his job. But my concern is if they're doing something that's not legal, are there going to be ramifications to the taxpayer later on? And it doesn't seem like it's being very transparent.
Well, you know, I shared this with our lawyer. And I think his exact wording had to do with that there's going to be a lot of lawsuits. This was very irresponsible of the county if this is approved, and there will be a lot of lawsuits.
But, you know, I don't think Dan and Steve Bradshaw care about the lawsuits because they don't have to pay if they lose.
Yeah, but actually us taxpayers are paying the bill for that. Not only are we paying the bill when we sue our own money, but we're suing ourselves because the taxpayer, they're using our own money to battle us.
Yes. Do you think that there's any kind of quid pro quo between Dan, Steve, and Frank Linscott? Do you think there's any, are they in bed together?
Well, I hate to assume or come to conclusion, but it is very bothersome that with so many proving that, you know, there's a lot that's happening on the Linscott property that has just been overlooked by the compliance department. You know, the compliance department here at the Bonner County, I mean, they get on real estate websites and look for little $65 and $120 fines, but they have, you know, Frank Linscott, who can avoid grandfather laws, not be compliant, not have a permit to run a gravel pit, and they don't go after them. You know, the compliance department, not only that, we put in a request for, when we had our last hearing on the 22nd of March, one of the reasons they claim they haven't gone to Linscott's and done anything is because we didn't form a legal complaint. So on the 24th of March, we sent a legal complaint to Lewis Marshall, to the county commissioners, and to Milton Olerton, explaining that not only has he not followed the laws, but he's also encroached on property and has broken the law in several different ways. And we asked them for their compliance department to take a look. And every time I've spoken to Milton Allerton, he's kind of laughed me off. And Lewis Marshall has not responded to it. And that was March of 2019. And here we sit with we did the formal complaint like we were legally supposed to do. And nobody's responded. And they laugh and said, we'll let the judge decide. And the judge did decide on one. And we have another judge, you know, we have the same judge, we got the Supreme Court will decide on the non-conforming land use. But, you know
what was the vote? Was it 2-1 or 3-0?
When it went in front of the Planning Commission on the last one, it was a split vote. But when it went into the county commissioners, we actually had it a couple times. We had Glenn Bailey on it.
What was the most recent vote with the
current
board?
Oh, it was 3. So that was when Steve Bradshaw, which I really had thought Steve Bradshaw would be on our side. You know, supposedly these guys are for private property laws, and I'm for property rights myself, which means that if somebody has something going on with their property, it's going to affect all the properties around them, their property, you know, their values, their smells that they're going to smell, their sounds, their, you know, I have property rights to enjoy my property without a nuisance.
Okay. But so the current board voted 3-0.
Yep.
You know, I'm surprised that Jeff Connolly voted this way. I am. Cause from what I don't know Jeff that well. In fact, I've only talked to him a couple of times, but everybody that I've talked to says he's an honest man.
And well, so I thought that about Steve Bradshaw, too. So,
okay.
I really had hoped, I heard Glenn Bailey, you know, we have the audio on that. We have Glenn Bailey talking before we even got up to talk that he had made a comment that we really need this asphalt plant. Like maybe the asphalt plant had maybe said, we're going to move if we don't get this, you know, somewhere, but they can stay exactly where they're at in the industrial zone. We don't know why they need to change. And I think that most people would be happy if they temporarily moved to areas if they need to be closer for like a month or 3 months, but.
Okay, let's do this right now. Let's take a short break. Phone lines will be open for a couple of more minutes. 208-265-8255. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Bureau of Land Management invites you to adopt a wild horse or burro Friday, August 14th from 3 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, August 15th at 9 a.m. Pre-approval of applications and viewing of animals begins at 2 p.m. on Friday. The BLM is offering a $1,000 incentive for the approved adoption of any untrained wild horse or burro. Choose your animal at 736 Alvista Loop in Hamilton, Montana, August 14th and 15th. Call 406-606-9049 for more information.
In January of 2017, I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
And within 24 hours of that diagnosis, we found ourselves here in Memphis at St. Jude. They knew what they were doing. They knew how they were going to treat her. They laid out this elaborate plan.
We didn't know what the future was, or if there even was a future. But with St. Jude, there was.
Not that long ago, the survival rate was 4%. 4%. But through the work and research that St. Jude does, that's now 94%. And you know how that got done? It's through donations, by people getting behind this mission that no child dies in the dawn of life.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Hello, this is Tony Vallelli with the Legacy Group Commercial Network at Keller Williams. Many of you know me from my years on the radio with the Speed Sport Report, but what you may not know is that for 26 years I've been a licensed commercial realtor. And if you're looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property, my team and I would be more than happy to assist you with your transaction. We handle all forms of commercial real estate, industrial, office, multifamily, development, retail, restaurant, resort, you name it, and we have literally decades of experience.
Right now, one of Tony's featured listings is the former Alpine Lumber Complex on the corner of Baldy and Division in Sandpoint. This property has some of the area's finest warehouse, retail, and office space all in one completely remodeled complex. Call to schedule a tour, 208-264-3353, or go to the LegacyGroupCommercialNetwork.com and look up the Alpine Lumber Complex on Division in Sandpoint.
Call me today, Tony Vallelli, at 264-3353. That's 264-3353. We look forward to hearing from you.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
We're back. I'm your host, Bill Litzinger. This is The Voice, and in the studio, we have Jonna Plant. Okay, Jonna, the Murphy family, they have something to do with this. What has been going on with the Murphy family and Lynn Scott?
Well, first of all, they've been battling this move also since 1995. You know, they've been writing letters and dealing with this also. But, you know, they've also had to deal with an encroachment. You know, they came to the county and let the county commissioners know that they felt that they were had an encroachment. And Milton Allerton did say they were going to come out. Ended up, Department of Idaho Lands came out, told them, no, there's no encroachment. So they ended up not listening to them or to anybody else and getting a survey done by Glahey. You know, they're required by law, Lynn Scott, to have a 45 degree angle, and there's a 15 foot there's a barrier, you know, that he has to have 15 feet where he doesn't start digging in. And as of now, I'm looking at this survey right now, and he's not only, you know, he's criminal trespass, which he's gone after the...
When you say a criminal trespass...
Means he's actually not only trespass, but taken the silica sand from their property, which could, if they wanted to, go after treble damages. And it appears, it says in this survey, that the access road encroaches on the south line, and it's 170 feet by 7.5 feet deep, but 170 feet long, really, on the south side. And what it's done is, now, because they didn't keep that 15-foot barrier before he dug, he's dug in, and so it's kind of a cliff. And so he was really after that silica sand, which is worth a lot of money. It's probably the highest sand, if the highest aggregate paid, you know, for the money, and that's where that silica sand
comes
from.
Is there any proof that he got that silicate sand from somebody else's property?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, that their property is missing. So, I mean, he's actually encroached on that. So, you know, from what I understand, Lynn Scott's been pretty private on this and quiet. The Murphys are great people. You know, they just don't want an asphalt plant there. Obviously, they don't want their land to be taken. They've homesteaded there. I think it's Tom's father and his brother, the father's brother, both homesteaded there for years. Murphy Bay is named after them. You know, I know that there was a problem in 1998. He had gotten a little close to their property lines, and that was supposed to be repaired and fixed. But when they went out this time, you know, they could see that he had definitely encroached on their property.
What is happening between that issue of Lynn Scott Murphy, as far as was Lynn Scott charged or was he fined or anything?
You know, I don't know, other than that this is public information that he's encroached on their property, and this was given to the Department of Lands, and when you do a public
inquiry.
Thank you. This does come up because Tom Murphy had taken it to them and had talked to them. So I just know that it's shocking how much Lynn Scott can get away with that's illegally done, and he still has a pit that's not really considered legal, and he's allowed to
Think he's paying somebody off?
I don't know what's happening, but I know that if I'm building a building or doing anything incorrectly, a big yellow tape comes and they says you have to see the building. You know, you can't move forward. So it's just amazing that, you know, and it's not just the county commissioners or people that are, you know, we've dealt with other people and gone to certain things, like spoken to, for example, the transportation department, who claims there's no way that anybody will be able to pull out of a private road with a business and come out on the 95. When we talked to them about the asphalt plant moving in there, they said it would never be approved. And then, you know, a week later when we contact them, they say, oh, they have a access permit from 1972 when they were only 5 acres. Well, that access permit isn't good for now. I mean, they're over 100 acres, and they just got approved through Department of Lands to become 155 acres. So we're talking a huge more growth coming.
It seems like
even though they're not allowed to.
Do you suspect that there's something illegal going on between the government and Linscott?
It just makes me wonder how somebody could be so illegal in so many different areas, and he's not held accountable, and the compliance department of the planning department will do nothing.
Dan McDonald and Steve Bradshaw could care less about anybody else. I'm surprised that Jeff Connolly has taken this. Nobody that I've talked to was surprised at what Dan and Steve do. But some of them, when I've talked to them about this, they were surprised at Jeff's vote because they said he's a man of integrity.
Well, I honestly thought with all the evidence that we had and with all the information we had and coming from the top person that wrote the Idaho Land Use Handbook telling him it was illegal, that they would not shun the 99% of the people that were there that had proof that they had already been affected by it when it was there temporarily, and the proof of the illegal part of the Sigel asphalt plant or the gravel pit. Because let's face it, the gravel pit, any place needs to be on legal property. And if they're not running legally, which again, they have no permits to run as a gravel pit at this time because they've grown so much out of their nonconforming land use, I just don't see how this can move forward.
You know, there are some of these privately funded environmental groups that will take on cases like this, and generally, if they win, they get legal fees. But I don't know whether this would qualify as something like that. Real quickly, I want you to read that one statement you showed me when you walked in here today. We've only got a couple of minutes left.
Okay. Well, I just again want to warn everybody
that
if this goes through, it's going to be a huge amount of money, just like we are having to do to battle it. So everybody needs to go to this hearing, and get it and follow through. It's a quick one. If this mining ordinance passes, the county would be denying due process to the public by removing public comments and removing the rights of the public to know about batch plants being placed in their neighborhood. This could impact their health and drop property values by approximately 20%, 27% according to studies. The mining ordinance will allow the planning director, an unelected official, to oversee and approve the right to place an asphalt plant on any of the 90-plus gravel pits in Bonner County. If our community does not get involved with this now, the planning director decisions would impact the local residents' health, their investments, their land, and ultimately on our tourist community. This mining ordinance could lead to many asphalt plants in Bonner County, in turn many lawsuits, which would ultimately fall back on the taxpayers. We must do something before our county becomes known for one thing, batch plants. And our attorney, if you want his comment, was, this is irresponsible of the county to allow, and that he expects many lawsuits to come from this.
Do you know if the attorney, William
Wilson.
Wilson, does he work for Lewis Marshall, or does he work for the commissioners?
I think he might be under Lewis Marshall, but he is the county commissioner's advisor because he's also the one that claimed that the nonconforming land use is legal, and Gary Allen said it's absolutely not. So again, he may have to backtrack and send that in. That I just think that they should drop trying to put it in the Sigel asphalt plant, and I wish they would have to pay our attorney's fees. I just don't think it's fair that we have to fight when it's just simply on the laws of the books and we're just trying to get them enforced.
Jonna, thank you for your time today. I think this issue, and of course this is just, we have issues like this all the time. This is why people need to get involved and go to meetings. But then I've talked with Dan McDonald before when he says that there will be an issue and it'll be on the agenda and two or three people show up. So if you want to run the show, you got to show up. Sometimes it won't do any good, but you at least have to try. You have to make your feelings known. And if you have honest elected officials, they should react accordingly. So anyway, thank you for joining us today. Be sure and tune in this coming Friday at the noon hour for Face to Face with myself and my co-host Deb Crossett. You know how Deb loves to give me a hard time. But anyway, I'm not sure what's on the agenda for Friday because this is Deb's week to bring it. Thank you for joining us today. As always, It's been my pleasure being with you for this noontime hour. If you have comments, questions, or ideas for a topic, you can touch base with me at talkradio@billlitzinger.com. That's talkradio@billlitzinger.com. Until next time, be safe, but most of all, be well.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The coronavirus.